Amen. God bless you. I'm excited this morning. I'll just tell you how this all came about. I was dreaming later, the latter part of last year, about doing an entire month of emphasis on the family. If you've been here any length of time, you know that I really believe in the family. I love being a dad. If I told Sheila one time, I said, if I knew that being a dad was so fun, I would have had two more. There's a few ages in there I'd like to have skipped, but you know, the Lord rewarded, and I love being a granddad. And some of you already, most of you already know, I'm going to be another granddad again. She's going to have another baby in the summer. Pray with me, a boy. How do you compete with Audrey Claire, right? But I love the family. I love the family. I tell everybody I was an active dad. I was involved in my kids' life. I was involved in the decisions of their life. That did create some issues at times, I promise you. But I was an active father. I love the responsibility that God gave to us to raise our children. And you've heard me say, if you've been here any length of time, you know that we live in a world that's hurting. And I was telling Mark earlier that I believe, you've heard me say this for years and years and years, the world is in a mess because the church is in a mess. The church is in a mess because families are in a mess. If you heal the family, you heal the church. You heal the church, you change the world. Part of the impetus of building the ball field out there and the track and the pavilion and all that is so that we can do family activities and we can have ball tournaments. We could do kickball. We could do all kinds of things out there. Again, it's for family because I believe that the answer is in our families. It is the basic building block of society. And we need strong families. And so this morning, we're excited. I had this whole vision of doing an entire month, every Sunday doing something family-oriented. Didn't turn out like that, but we're excited to have Mark with us this morning. Mark Gregston is parenting today's teens. He has a place in Hallsville. I want to say Halls. It's Hallsville, Texas, East Texas. Just makes an impact in the family. And we're excited to have him today, and he'll be with us again tonight. So would you make welcome this morning, Mark Gregston.
Kind of do that, or just everybody just call each other and say, hey, wear red today. What's the color for tonight? Because all I brought was a yellow shirt. No, not really. No, it is good to be here. It's fine. It's good to be in an Assembly of God church where people are excited. I was in a church a couple of weeks ago that was so boring. I mean, I sat there looking for a fork. I thought if I can just give myself a root canal, you know, that maybe this would be a better service, you know, and it was just one of those times that was kind of odd. I got up this morning. I travel a lot and was kind of confused where I was. I spend a lot of nights, about 200 nights a year in hotels. And it was just one of those nights. And I thought, oh, where am I? Where am I? I got so confused. I got my Preparation H mixed up with my toothpaste. And now my gums are all receding. My rear end's on fire. And I mean, I'm just sitting here sweating like crazy. You know, it's one of those days. It is good to be here. I'm Mark Gregston, and you were talking about when you came to the Lord. I saw the Beatles when I was 9 years old, and then I accepted Christ at a Beach Boys concert later on in the '60s. My wife and I, our first date was when this Christian band came through town in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Led Zeppelin, and we've been married 42 years this year, and which is cool. Yeah. We're grandparents as well. How many of y'all are grandparents? Isn't this grandparenting thing great? The grandkids are a reward for not killing your own kids. You know, I mean, it is. My daughter looks at me and she goes, Dad, it's almost like you like them more than us. And she goes, no, I'm being serious. Me too. It's a joy to, you know, and I'm convinced that that how we treat our kids will determine those grandkids when they come to us. And I never thought I'd be writing a book. I'm writing a book called, I wanted to write a book called Tasering Kids God's Way, but I just couldn't get any publisher to take it and run with it. But I'm writing a grandparenting book, and Bill Gaither is the one who kind of, Bill and Gloria Gaither have said, hey, you need to do that, you need to do that. And I go, I'm not that old. They go, you need to do that, you need to do that. So it's going to be called Leaving a Legacy of Hope. And the whole intent is that, and this is the reason I think that God's allowing all of us to live longer. Because kids today need wisdom, and it comes a lot from gray hair and bald heads and fat bellies and everything else. And it's needed. Yeah, some of y'all are agreeing. Some of y'all are going, now wait a minute, you know, kind of thing. We've got a place called Heartlight. It's a residential counseling center for kids. I live with 60 high school kids that come from all over the country that are struggling, having a tough time. They're kids just like yours, just like mine. Something's gone terribly wrong, and so they come and live with us. We've now had over 3,000 kids live with us over the last 30-some years, which has been somewhat amazing to me. Somebody approached me years ago and said, you need to be on the radio. And I said, that's the stupidest thing that I've ever heard. And I said, we'll give it a shot. We made a little trial deal. And so now our radio program's on about 1,600 stations across the country. I'm spending all this next week in Nashville. And we're recording artists that we're taking our radio stuff to country music as well. And so it's been kind of a fun thing to see what's happened. Then somebody said, you need to write books. And I'm going, write books? I don't even read books. And I said, I don't think I can do that. But I started writing and thinking through. And did I say something wrong? And she doesn't read either. Are you a librarian or something? Is that what it is? She's an English teacher somewhere. And she's going, I'm not listening to this guy. I'm out of here. But, you know, it's just one of those things that the radio thing surprised me. What we've done, Heartlight, has surprised me. My degree is in finance with emphasis in real estate investments. Went to a semester of law school and quit. You know why? Because they wanted me to read. And I'm just going, I'm not going to do that. And so now I spend about 200 nights out of the year and travel and do seminars and conferences and speak at different places and enjoy that. I don't get paid for this. This is my volunteer time. I don't get paid for speaking anywhere. I don't get paid for doing radio. I don't get paid from the sale of my books. And I'm not trying to sell you on Heartlight. I'm here because I want to help you with your kids. And that's it. I'm not trying to sell you anything. There's something about the way that we engage with our kids in a culture that is, you know, some of y'all have great-looking mustaches. You know that? I'm sitting here looking at different people. I got a letter a couple of weeks ago, and it said, Dear Mark, please send me back our mustache, signed 1880, you know. And so I know I'm a little bit dated, and some of you guys, but you make me feel at home. And I saw a number of boots when I came in, and that makes me feel even better. But I spent a lot of time, you know, running around and traveling, and it was interesting. My wife and I go to Cabo San Lucas, and we've been going there for about 25 years, and we go and spend time, and right, we can kind of get away and take a break and spend some time together. And this past August, we... are going to leave Longview, Texas. We have one gate. Y'all don't even have an airport, do you? Do you? No, the airport manager's probably here and he's mad at me. But we've got one gate and two flights a day on a good day, and so we get to drive right up to the airport and get out of my truck and just walk in and go right up to the desk and check in and all that stuff. And so my wife and I were going to go spend a week. And so I pull my truck up, we walk in, and then one of the ladies said, Jan, you've got too much luggage. And I said, well, and I'm always saying, Jan, we're not moving to Cabo. We're going for a week. And she takes like 8 bags and millions of things and all this junk. And I'm just going, this isn't, why don't you just leave some stuff at home? And so it's getting me frustrated, and it takes 30 minutes for us to get checked in. We get checked in, we go through security, we fly out of Longview, we come to Dallas. This was 4:30 in the afternoon when I got there to the airport. 4:30, and so we finally get to Dallas about 6 o'clock, and we find out that our flight's delayed for 4 or 5 hours. And I went, okay, well, let's go get something to eat, and we'll sit down and all that other stuff. It's midnight now, and we're getting on the plane to fly to Cabo. They've delayed it and delayed it and delayed it. And right when I stepped on the plane, right when I stepped on the plane, I looked at my wife and I said, I left my truck running in front of the airport. And this stewardess said, what, are you supposed to call them stewardesses? Yeah, whatever. And the stewardess announces it to everybody on the plane. This man left his truck running in front of the airport. And so I sit down and I call my daughter and I say, Melissa, hey. She goes, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm just calling. It's midnight, Dad. Are you in Kabul yet? No, we're not even out of Dallas yet. Well, what are you calling for? Well, your mother left the car running at the airport, and you need to do something about that. And so, and she goes, well, what? I said, can you just go get my truck? Yeah, I'll go get it. And so she's going to go do that. So I call the airport, and I just said, this guy picks up, and I go, hey, who's this? And he goes, Jesse. And I said, well, Jesse, Mark Gregston, I think I left my truck out in front of the airport. Yeah, you did. Is it still there? Yeah, it is. Is it still running? Yeah, it is. Why? Well, I thought you were coming back. You know, and I'm sitting there going, this guy's an idiot. And I'm the one that left the truck there. And this is what I found out. There's a little ditty in this thing that I go, it's kind of important. Sometimes in our pursuit, in what we think is important, we miss what is most valuable. Sometime in our pursuit of what we think is most important, we miss what is most valuable. And I think that's what's kind of happening to kids today. I mean, we know the value of kids. We know we want that. We desire that. We long for that. They're the pride of who we are. They're a reflection of us. They, all those things. But I think sometimes all of us get a little too busy. And a little too busy means we ignore some of the things that are the most valuable to us. Pursuing what we think that might be most important. Okay, I have read a few books. Maybe one or two. I was Oklahoma Bible Quiz Champ of 1969. Does that count? I mean, I read the good book a lot. So, but I've learned some things from kids. And I just want to share five things. I was sitting down in the hotel this morning writing these things down. And I thought, here's some things that I think are important. They were just on my heart this morning. And then we'll spend some time tonight kind of diving in a little bit more and going a little bit further and talking about how to engage differently. Because I think our kids have a tough time. I mean, this is a culture that every one of you in this room has said this. I'm glad that I don't have to be raised in this culture. Aren't you kind of glad that you don't have to be raised right now? 4.3 million porn sites? I know that I would be a pathetic mess if I was in the seventh grade. I know how I'm a mess now. I know how I would be back then. All the influences and everything that's going on, it's creating a sense of anxiety when we say don't be anxious in anything. Yet our kids are very anxious about the world they face because the greatest challenge that they have is taking what they know to be true, those biblical principles and values and all those things that they embrace, and not just knowing more, but applying it to the world that they live in. And you can choose to either raise your kid to live in a zoo or you can prepare them to survive in the jungle. But your kid's going to the jungle. And so it's helping them get to that point. So there's some lessons I've learned about that in dealing with kids. And one of my reasons that I'm so passionate about it is that 85% of kids are leaving the church upon graduation from high school. And I look at it and I go, we're missing something. And so we've got to engage different and act different in a culture that is contrary to what you and I believe and hold dear to our hearts. So there's a way of doing that. First thing I learned was this, is that understanding what's really going on changes our perspective. Just changes our perspective totally of what's really happening. You look at it different. Let's say Pastor Mike is y'all call him Pastor? I think this chair is pretty cool. Are you the one that sits in this chair? Yeah, nobody sits in daddy's chair. Is that right? I wouldn't have do that. The other thing I thought was pretty cool is evidently y'all have a bunch of allergies here because there's Kleenex all over the place. But I thought that was kind of cool. But anyway, it's understanding changes. And let's say that Pastor Mike walks in the back door and he starts slurring speech. And he's holding on as he comes down the aisle. And he's stumbling. You guys are looking at him going, what in the world is going on? And so he walks up and he comes up here and he grabs a hold of me and puts his arm around me and just throws up all over my boots. Imagine many of you would be mad. lot of you would go, that man's drunk. I don't want him in here. I can't believe he'd pull a stunt like that. After he's been here for since 1993, is that what it is? After he's, you know, I cannot believe that he'd pull. I'm embarrassed. I'm angered. I'm mad. You know, he's not only drunk, he's fired. We're getting rid of him. We're not going to put up with stuff like that. I go, whoa, stop for a minute. He's not drunk. He's having an aneurysm. The minute you know that, everything changes. Because now I am honored that he would come to me. I am honored that he would say, Mark. It doesn't bother me that he throws up all over my boots. Well, maybe a little bit. But it probably doesn't even smell. Okay, maybe it does. But every one of you in this room would run to him to help. And I think sometimes if we get an understanding of what's really happening in the culture, and I'm not an anti-world kind of guy, if we knew what was happening in the culture, that we would respond differently to kids when we see behavior kind of moving in another direction. We spend so much time trying to control behavior. Behavior is a visible expression of invisible issues. It's goal-oriented. It expresses something. And the tendency is to push them out. I don't meet many rebellious kids. I meet kids who are lost. And they're getting lost in this culture. So what do you do when somebody gets lost? You go find them, just like that sheep and that coin. You know, we find them and we say, come on. Let me help you. Not to teach you more things, but to train you. And there's a difference between the two. To train you up. So I can help you take what you know to be true, take all those seeds that have been sown into your life, and cultivate them in such a way that it prepares you for the jungle that you will be entering, so that you can be light and salt and flavor to a world that desperately, desperately needs you. So the first thing I would say is understanding changes your approach. The second thing is this. Those who struggle may be your child. You know the story, and you can put up that John, is it John 8 that we put up? The story of the woman caught in adultery. Y'all remember that? Y'all read scripture here? Okay, that's a good thing. Way to go, Pastor. That's cool. That's why you sit in the big chair, and you know, you're a good teacher. But you remember the story, and they're bringing this young lady to Jesus. It says she's been caught in the very act of adultery, and the law of Moses says we're supposed to stone her. I'm paraphrasing just a little bit. What do you say we do? And he stooped down and he started to write in the sand. Remember that? And he gets back up and he makes that famous statement, let him who was without sin cast the first stone. And then he knelt back down and wrote in the sand again. And then he looks at the young lady and said, where are your accusers? She goes, there are none. Am I getting this right? And then he says, go and sin no more. But have you ever wondered what he wrote in the sand? I'm going to tell you. What if this was your daughter? What if this was your son? Most of us think that things will never happen to our kids. I've got 3,000 stories that would tell you otherwise. Kids struggle. They have a tough time. There's a normal part of that. And God has placed your child in your family for a reason. One, to hone you into the person that he desires for you to be. Darn it. And the second part of it is so that you can have an influence on the life of that child so they can carry on the legacy that you have within your family. Kids become important. The third thing is this, and I use this, is that kids live in an information age, don't they? I mean, it's crazy, isn't it? It's information, information, information. Constantly. When you and I grew up, most of us in this room, you and I grew up, information, codified information, written information, doubled every 13 years. Every 13 years. If you grew up in the 30s, it doubled every 30 years. If you grew up in the 20s, it doubled every 50 years. That's the amount of information that is out there. You know how fast it's doubling now? Every 11 hours. Next year will be every hour and a half. In 3 years, it will double instantaneously. And my point is this. I don't know whether you're like me, but if you're on Facebook, are any of y'all on Facebook? Where you get on and you read through Facebook and you read about somebody died, somebody's born, puppies were born, dog died, somebody's going to St. Jude, somebody memorized the book of Hebrews backwards in Spanish, some other idiot did 4,000 push-ups. And it looks like everybody's on vacation but me. You know, do you notice that? Everybody's on vacation but me. I'm sitting there reading it. I go, why am I reading all this stuff anyway? But it's just constant information, and sometimes I just want to go, I just need to shut it down. It's like listening to Fox News. Yap, 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 yap. And then you turn on The View if you want more of it or something. I just go, God, it just drives me nuts. And you know what I do? I shut it off. And here's what your kids are doing to you if you are a source of information. They're shutting you down. You know why? Because they don't need any more information. Hey, Siri, how many people were killed in the Civil War?
Okay, give me a moment. My web search turned something up for how killed in the Civil War. Have a look.
I can get all the information I want. Information is what you do during the early stage. You pass on information, and tonight I'll talk more about this, 1 through 12. What you do during this time is far different. Matter of fact, if you're using your parenting skills that are working at ages 1 through 12, where your kids bring you coffee mugs that say world's greatest mom and world's greatest dad and t-shirts and all that, it doesn't work when you get up here to 13 to 19. It changes. This is all about teaching over here. This is about training. And if you try to do this here, it's not going to work. Because this is about information. This is about wisdom. It's the transfer of wisdom. Somebody says, well, where do you get wisdom? The Lord says, Scripture will tell you that if you just ask. If any one of you lacks wisdom, ask God. Because it says, lean not on your own understanding. You pray. You look for it. You search for it. Wisdom comes from you. But wisdom is transferred in different ways now. It's transferred through observation, what your kids see in the example that you become. It's transferred through reflection, how you engage and what you get your kids to think about. And the third thing is experience. When you go fishing, all of you need to go fishing more. All of you need to hunt more. All you men are going, yeah, yeah, keep it up, brother. You know, it's good. You need to do more experiences. When you work together and have shared experiences, you are creating opportunities for them to see teaching in real life here. Are you following me? And so it's important that you engage in that way and say, okay, my intent is going to be to share wisdom, not just more information. Moms. Grandmas, this is why your grandkids shut you down and don't want to listen to you. It's because you're still in this mode of information. And they're going, I don't need that. I've got Siri. I've got Alexa. I've got Google. I've got everything. But this is why when you pick up your kids from school and, hey, how was your day? Good. What'd you do? Nothing. What do you want to eat tonight? Nothing. Do you have any homework? Nope. What are you doing tomorrow? I don't know. You know what? They're up to here. They're tired. They're being bombarded like crazy. And unless we provide rest for them somewhere, which is home, then they will find it somewhere else. Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and you'll find judgment for your soul. You'll find conviction for your soul. This is how you need to do it. This is what you did wrong. This is what you need to do next time. That's what I'm going to do. If your boss treated you like that, you'd be out of there in a heartbeat. Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That our home becomes a place of rest. And that means we've got to change some of the ways that we're doing things, because we've got to counter what's happening in this contrary culture that is affecting our kids and driving them to places where they're looking. They are anxious. 48% of kids today can be diagnosed with some form of mental illness, according to the DSM-5. Isn't that amazing? You know what's highest on the list? Anxiety. Because they go, how do I do this? How do I do this? How do I get to the next level? How do I take what I know to be true and apply it to this crazy world that I have to live in? And so that's where we come in. You by far are the most important influence as a parent and a grandparent on the life of your child. You know, Scripture says this, even a fool appears wise when he keeps his mouth shut. Now, Dad, that's not an excuse. Because most men are kind of, well, I'm not going to say much. You appear wise, but you've got to step up to the plate and take a few swings occasionally. Be involved and share what's on your heart. Share experiences. Share not your perfections, but share your imperfections. Mom, start engaging differently. Go home and be quiet for 24 hours. See what happens. My granddaughter, who's living with us at the moment, she's 16. I've got a 16, 11, 4, 3, and something. I think that's their age. I know the one's 16 because she got her license and she's driving me crazy. But she's living with us right now because they're building a home and they sold their home. And so I said, well, just move in with us and we'll have a big party all the time. And her boyfriend just broke up with her, so she's going through a tough time. And I realized that sometimes you just need to be quiet. Sometimes it's not trying to solve everything. Sometimes, dads, it's not fixing everything. That's the tendency that we all have. Women like to talk, just like you and I like to fix things. You know, and every time we fix things and keep telling our kids, we can fix them, we can fix them, we can fix them, we're reminding them that they're broken. Do you like being reminded you're broken? Hey, you're busted up. You're broken. I don't. You know, I mean, men have a tough time with that. Men don't like being told they're wrong. Am I right? Of course I'm right. And but there's something about the way that we engage. So my wife starts sending all these scriptures to my granddaughter. God has a plan for you. God has this. God has that. God has this. God has that. There's a wonderful plan. He desires this for you and wants this for you and wants this for you. And you know what my granddaughter said to her mother, my daughter? Would you tell Mama to just stop? And you know what it is? It's so much information that she's cutting off the relationship, and she'll never hear the wealth of wisdom that my wife has to offer. Are you following me? Yeah. So it's changing. During those adolescent years, you start engaging differently. You engage in such a way that you go, I need to be sharing wisdom. My concern for kids, and I believe in the inerrancy of God's Word and the authority of His Scripture, but I think they're taking Scripture and interpreting that as information. They're not seeing it as wisdom. And so you and I are the ones that should be taking Scripture and helping a child see the wisdom in the Scripture so that this thing right here doesn't become just another piece of information. This is life right here. And so it's saying, okay, then how do we do that? So that's what we'll talk about tonight. I think that becomes so important. Here's another thing that I would tell you. The fourth thing is, be more concerned about the time that you spend with your kids than the words you speak. Be more concerned with the time you spend than with the words you speak. We all know that actions speak louder than... It's not what you say, it's what you... That how you live and the example that you place before your kids is a lot more important than the words that come out of your mouth. And we get in this habit because we're rewarded here. Here, Mama, here, Grandma, or whatever they call you. Here's a shirt that says, World's Greatest Grandma, because you do so well. But golly, now the same girl that... My granddaughter that gave those shirts to my wife is now going, would you just tell her to shut up? And it's because she doesn't want more information. She wants somebody to wrap their arms around her and just hold her and perhaps remain quiet. Because a fool appears wise when he keeps his mouth shut. That a fool delights in airing his opinion. That maybe it's just holding somebody and letting that be enough. Because actions speak louder than words. The next thing here would be that when you do speak and spend time and engage with somebody, that you would do this. And it's out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I know that you've read it a million times, but it becomes important in the life of adolescents. It says this, For you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain. But after we had already suffered and been mistreated at Philippi, we had the boldness of our God to speak to you the gospel of God amidst much opposition. For our exhortation does not come from error or impurity or by way of deceit, but just as we've been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not pleasing men, but God who examines our heart. Here's the part that's so important. For we never came to you with flattering speech, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed. God is our witness. Nor did we seek glory for men, either from you or from others, even though as apostles of Christ we might have asserted authority. But we proved to be gentle among you, as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children. And having thus a fond affection for you, we were well pleased to you to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but our own lives as well. Paul mentions in 2 Thessalonians, he mentions his withness. Remember how I was with you in fear and trembling. He doesn't say, remember all those good words that I said? Remember that? Remember that? Remember those great things I said? Remember how I was with you. For you recall, brethren, our labor and hardship, how working night and day so not to be a burden to you. You were witnesses, and so is God, how devoutly and uprightly and blamelessly we behaved. Just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one of you as a father would his own children, so that you may walk in a manner that is worthy of God. There is something about your Christian witness that speaks louder than any word you can ever say. It's a way to engage. And here's the last thing. Bill Gaither said you need to tell everybody this story. But you guys just need to lighten up. You need to lighten up. I think that laughter is another form of worship. And so I take it that you guys laugh quite a bit. You know what I mean? You got to laugh. Or you'll cry. You know? Or you'll go nuts in the process. We wanted to be on a radio station up in Chicago named Moody. Moody Radio. Are y'all familiar with Moody Radio? Moody Radio is kind of conservative. If they had a sound that would depict Moody Radio, it'd be... It's just real conservative. Just like this. And we wanted to be on the radio network that they have. They have 80-some stations around the country, and so we kept going to... Nobody looks like me in radio. Nobody has a mustache like this. Nobody wears boots. I haven't found one person out of all the radio personalities and everywhere. I haven't found one person that wears a pair of boots. But we wanted to be on, and so we talked to people. And they said, well, let's do this. Let's try Mark out and have him come on a Tuesday morning where he can give a 1-hour drive time show, and then he can answer questions. This is downtown Chicago. A million people are listening, and so we set it all up for our radio team to come in from LA and everybody get together, and we're going to sit in one room, and I'm going to be in a little glass room, you know, behind this thing and with another guy, and the weather people over here and the traffic people are over here, and we're going to talk for an hour. And then we're going to answer questions. On the other side of this glass, on all the people on the outside of the wall, it was all the radio people from Moody. It was all our radio team. It was everybody there. And they're just sitting there drinking coffee at 6 o'clock in the morning. So they got used to, you know, just the normalcy of talking and me answering questions. And they were listening in and stuff. And then at 7 o'clock, the questions started to come. And you have to know this. The day beforehand, there were news articles that came out on the second page of USA Today and the fourth page of the Wall Street Journal that said that this man, he was a pastor of a church, was 100% heterosexual. And the reason that they're coming out and saying that he's 100% heterosexual is because he had a homosexual relationship as a pastor. He would preach anti-homosexual, anti. And then he'd leave and go to Denver and have this relationship with this man. And then he'd come back and preach against it, and then go and have this relationship and just going back and forth. And finally, the man that lived up in Denver said, wait, this guy is doing this. I'm going to let everybody know. So he let everybody know. And the man was a pastor of a church in Colorado Springs. I served on a board with him when he was the chairman of the National Association of Evangelicals. I thought he was a nice man. But, I mean, they almost crucified him. I mean, they ran him through the ringer. I mean, it was a mess. And so this man said, you know, he repented. He wanted to restore his relationships with his family and people around him. He did anything he could to get in a better relationship. People were telling him, you need to do these things. And he did every one of them. I mean, he received godly counsel. He restored his relationship with everybody. And so his counselor came out and said, is that me? I'm finished? So the counselor came out and said, this man is 100% heterosexual. That was on SRN News. That was everywhere that day on this Monday morning. Now our deal is on Tuesday. Are you following me? Okay, on Tuesday, we get finished with the first hour, and the first lady calls, and they say, Mark, Stephanie has a question for you. And I said, hi, sweetheart, how are you? And she goes, good. And I said, well, what's your question? And she goes, well, I've got a question for you. Are you 100% heterosexual? And it was almost like everybody on the other side over here just went, you know. I mean, they just kind of went, well, that's a little different, you know. And so they were looking. And so I just kind of quit back and I said, well, you know, I don't think so. And I mean, the eyes got this big. Our producer of the radio program was going like, oh, no, oh, no. He just blew it. And so everybody on the other side is looking in, and I said, you know, I don't think so. I think I'm 95% heterosexual. I think I'm 3% metrosexual because I wear Tommy Bahama shirts occasionally, and I'm 2% homosexual because I'd kiss Keith Urban if I had the opportunity to. And I thought it was funny. I mean, I just thought, that is unbelievable. It was one of these where you just go, and I felt like I knocked it out of the park. I thought, that is so funny. And the next thing you heard was this. And the weather in Chicago is, and it immediately went off air to somebody else. And then there's somebody knocking on the glass that is coming back, and it's the producer. And he's saying, you can't say that. You can't say that. You can't say that. And everything was just quiet. And they're off on a break. And I just sat there and I thought, okay. So I stood up and I did this. I said, guys, let me tell you something. If you don't lighten up, you will never have the opportunity to talk about the tough stuff that kids need to talk about. You'll never have the opportunity to talk about the hard stuff that parents need to talk about. You've got to lighten up. We're children of the King, for Pete's sakes. We know who we are. We know where we belong. We believe in Scripture. Everybody's just got to lighten up. And I sat back down. Well, we're now their number 3 program, which is just crazy to me. And here's the funny part of it also. 2 years later, we were in Franklin, Tennessee. And right outside of Franklin, it's right south of Nashville, in a place called Leaper's Fork. And Leaper's Fork, it's where we recorded. Michael Card is a fellow who wrote a song, El Shaddai, years ago. And so we're recording in his studio. And we take a break, and we're off eating lunch at this little tiny place and a little sandwich shop. Just a little tiny sandwich shop here. Little tiny thing. And we're sitting off in the corner. And guess who walks in? Keith Urban. And one of our guys goes, "Well, Mark, there you go." You know, and so, I walk up to Keith and Nicole, and I go, "Hey, Keith, Mark Gregston, I made a comment a couple of years ago, 95% and 3% and 2% that I'd kiss you if I ever had the opportunity." He just looks at me and goes, "Well, that ain't going to happen." I mean, I was just, you know. So now everybody jokes about it. And I know that one of these days we're going to be recording him on our radio program, and he's going to come back and go, "I remember you. You were that weirdo in that sandwich shop." But we got to lighten up. We were in Duck Dynasty land, and this man walked up to me afterwards and said, "Hey, Mark, you can always throw a bigger brick if it's wrapped in humor." And I believe that. Our kids are struggling. Our kids are leaving the church. Our kids are thinking that the thing that we hold on to dearly, the wisdom of God that is expressed through Scripture, is just a bunch of information. They don't care a whole lot anymore about a lot of things. When kids begin to struggle, maybe this church is that way too, I don't know, but there are very few juniors and seniors that are involved in youth groups anymore, involved in the church. I pray that's not true here. But you start to see kids wean, and they get lost. And they get lost, and they're just kind of gone. And I think God would be calling us to go after our own, to pursue our own families. And so here's maybe a point of action, even for you today, as I finish up. You know, if you're a grandparent, maybe you have an estranged relationship with your child somewhere. Maybe you haven't talked to them in a few years. Maybe there's been something that's been distancing you. And let me tell you something. You are justified for that. You have every reason to feel the way you do. But grace is moving towards somebody when they have offended you. Scripture says that like the barred gates of the citadel is one who has offended the other. They're up. Nothing's coming through. But the love of God has an amazing way of permeating that. It's called grace. And if grace is easy for you to give, it's probably not grace. Because grace is very difficult. God did a great job, a wonderful job, and it was easy for him. Not really. But I want to treat others just like he treats me. And he's got to be graceful with me. So maybe God's calling you to make that phone call. Perhaps it's a parent somewhere that you don't have a relationship with, and it's been cut off. Perhaps this afternoon is the day that you change that and you offer the hand of grace, that olive branch of saying, "I want to have a relationship." Perhaps your child is that way. Perhaps something, your child has offended you in some way and pushed you away. And you're justified in your thinking. Or perhaps God is one who's saying, "But I want you to move toward them and offer them what I have offered you." God's in the business of relationships. If you have a discipline problem, you have a relationship problem. And so that's what we'll be spending time talking about a little bit tonight. We'll take it apart and say, okay, here's some things about the culture that you need to know. Here's some things that don't work any longer. And here's some things that you need to start doing, possibly, to change the way to counter the effect that this culture is having on your kids. I think we go until 3 o'clock this afternoon, right? You told me to go another 2 hours? Not really. I know I'll finish up. But I know that tonight, I think it's an hour and a half, but it'll feel like it's 5 minutes and it'll be over. Anyway, thank you so much. Pastor.
Amen. Amen, guys, I'm going to ask you to come back, our musicians, so they'll come back as we close this morning. I don't know about you, but did anybody pick anything up out of that? Wasn't that incredible stuff this morning? Amen. You know, here's a guy who lives it. 3,000, can you imagine 3,000 kids that have come through his influence these numbers of years? I just believe that his message is on point. Our children are hurting, and we have to do something. I want to ask you to stand with me this morning. I want to do something. I was thinking about how we could close this morning. I want to encourage you to come back tonight. If you know some families that maybe they are struggling, maybe they need some help, grandparents, what have you, come on back tonight at 6. I believe that God's going to use that time, ordain it to really help us. But what I want to do this morning as we close this service is simply this. If you are a parent, single parent, a couple this morning, and you're struggling in that area, I don't mean to embarrass you, but this is a family. You hear me say it all the time. We are family. I'm not going to sing the song, but we are family. And I believe that. We're the family of God. We're the family of Bethel Temple. This is our church family. For 23 years, we've talked about us being family. And family needs to stand together. We need to hold each other up. The Bible says when one of us rejoices, we all rejoice. When one weeps, we all weep. Life's tough. Sometimes we can get in our own little bubble, and our bubble might be doing well, or it may not be, but we get in our little bubble, and that's what we see. And we use all of our resources, all of our energy, dealing with our bubble. And we forget that God called us not just to use our energies on ourselves, but He says that we're to reach out to others. In fact, Paul said we're to comfort others with the same comfort that we ourselves have been comforted with. That means we have to have that relationship. And I was going to do it different, but as I was sitting there, I thought, you know what, I want to do this. If you're a parent here this morning, or grandparent, and you're struggling with familial relationships, I'm just going to ask you to take a step out and meet me right down front here, because we want to pray. Again, I'm not here to embarrass you. You know, Lord knows you guys have been with me through some very difficult times with my daughter years ago. You stood with me. You prayed with me. And I'm certainly not trying to embarrass you, but I want to pray. If you're here, maybe you just say, you know, Pastor, I need some wisdom. I'm asking, as Mark said, I'm asking God, give me wisdom in dealing with my children. Would you take a step out for a moment? How about let's sing a song? And while they're singing, if you'll come, we want to pray with you. I'm not here to embarrass you, but I do think that it's important. You know, the Bible says you have not because you ask not. And I think, you know what, I need some help. I want you to take a step right out and say, you know what, I'm going to stand there. I need some help.
All the saints and angels bow before your
Amen.
Throne. All the elders cast their crowns before the Lamb of God and see you are worthy of it all.
Amen. Anyone else? Come on, we'll wait on you. If you're in the balcony, we'll wait on you.
You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
Amen.
You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all.
Thank you, Jesus.
For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
Now I'm going to ask some of our senior saints, some of our parents and grandparents that are here, would you come and stand behind each of these? You might have to take a step up if you're down here this morning, if you'll just take a step forward. But I'm going to ask some of our senior saints if you guys would come and stand behind some of these. You know, the Bible talks about the older training the younger. I think that's an important thing. Church, we're going to pray this morning. Listen, I believe in the power of prayer. I believe there's not a crisis, there's not a situation that you can be in. In fact, again, as Mark said, if you lack wisdom, let him ask. And the Bible says that God gives without reservation. He gives without condemnation. The Bible says with him there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. Amen. Amen. Listen, revival can start in our homes. It can start in our homes. I'm going to ask the rest of the body, if you guys would stretch your hand out towards these this morning. Listen, this is important. This is important. I doubt there's anyone here that does not know the sting of family crisis. The drama, the hurt. That's why we've got to stand together. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, God, I thank you that I thank you for the family, the body of Christ. I thank you that we can come together, that we can stand together, that we can share our hurts and our disappointments, the disillusionment that we have, the discouragement that we feel right now. Lord, I pray for these that have come forward this morning, Lord, seeking wisdom. Lord, you know the hearts of every individual here this morning. You know the details of every situation, Lord, that they find themselves in. Lord, there's some parents that are here this morning that really seem lost when it comes to dealing with their child. Lord, I pray this morning that, again, you grant wisdom. Lord, I thank you for raising up Mark and his ministry. Lord, I thank you for people that invest in our lives by helping us. But Father, I pray for parents right now, those that are struggling to have that relationship with their children. Father, I pray that you would grant to them wisdom. Lord, not as the world gives. It's a supernatural wisdom that comes from you. You said that you would grant it to us, Lord. And I pray for that one that's struggling right now in that relationship. Maybe they feel isolated. Maybe they feel the relationship has severed to the point that it can't be repaired. Lord, I thank you that you speak into dead things. Lord, you bring resurrection life and resurrection power to our lives and to our situations. And so, Father, I pray that you would do that right now. To that husband, to that wife, Lord, I pray that you would knit the heart of the husband to the wife and the heart of the wife to the husband. I pray, fathers, parents, that you would knit the heart of parents to the children and the heart of children to the parents. Father, I pray for grandparents that might be here today that are struggling in a relationship with their grown children or their grandchildren. Father, again, I pray that you'll grant wisdom. Lord, many might be struggling today with the idea that their children grew up in the faith and grew up understanding the values of Scripture and your wisdom. And Lord, as they've gotten older, maybe they've departed from that way and it's a struggle right now. Father, I pray that you would let hope be birthed in our hearts this morning. God, help us to dare to believe that with you all things are possible. Lord, we claim that son, that daughter, that grandson, that daughter that has abandoned the faith. Lord, we claim them, that seed that has been planted. Father, I pray that you would blow upon it, Lord, and cause it to germinate and produce fruit in their life today. God, I pray that you would let hope be reborn in our hearts today. Lord, to that one that feels like throwing the towel in and quitting, let hope spring forth anew this morning, afresh. As we put our confidence in you today, God, I thank you that there is no one beyond your reach. There's no circumstance out of your sight. Your arm is not short that you cannot reach, and your ear is not deaf that you cannot hear. Father, I pray that you would do what we cannot do. We bless these families here this morning. We bless the moms and the dads, the grandmas and the grandpas. Let today be a turning point. Let today be a turning point in that family relationship, the family dynamic. Let a miracle take place today. Now, Father, I ask as we walk out of here today, may we walk out committed to doing things a little bit different. Lord, there's so many voices vying for our time and our attention, but Lord, may we tune out all of those voices to tune into the one that really matters. You said when we get to a crisis, a moment where we don't know what to do, that we would hear a voice that says, this is the way, walk ye in it. Go with us today. Give us a wonderful afternoon. And Lord, bring us tonight, Lord, as we continue on with the Parenting Today's teens. Father, bring us tonight with our hearts open and a receptive spirit to be able to hear the wisdom that you've granted to Mark. I love and I bless each one now in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. I love you so much. Don't forget 6 o'clock tonight.